A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who were my friends are on the watch for any missteps of mine. Perhaps he will be trapped, then we can prevail and take our vengeance on him. But the Lord is with me, like a mighty champion. My persecutors will stumble, they will not triumph. In their failure, they will be put to utter shame, to lasting, unforgettable confusion. O Lord of hosts, you who test the just, who probe mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them, for to you I have entrusted my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of the poor from the power of the wicked. The word of the Lord.
Answer me.
For your sake, I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my children, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you fall upon me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
I pray to you, O Lord, for the time of your favor, O God. In your great kindness, answer me. With your constant help, answer me, O Lord, for bounteous is your kindness. In your great mercy, turn toward me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
See, you lowly ones, and be glad. For you who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds, he spurns not. Let the heavens and the earth praise him, the seas and whatever moves in them.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, through one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death. And thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. For up to the time of the law, sin was in the world, though sin is not accounted when there is no law. But death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is the type of the one who was to come. But the gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Spirit of truth will testify to me, says the Lord, and you also will testify.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops, and do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one." In order for us to appreciate what Jesus is teaching us in this part of the Gospel of Matthew, we have to remember the context. Jesus has been disclosing and teaching us about discipleship, but more importantly, he's talking about what it will be like now as he's preparing to send them out. He says, "I send you out as sheep among wolves, and therefore as you go, take meager provisions with you." And this is not because he doesn't care for their well-being. He wants them to experience what it's like to have full, absolute trust in the Father, whom Jesus has been sent to reveal to the world. Specifically, and most importantly, to those he has chosen, called by name, to be a part of the beginnings of the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, when we think about fear, things that we fear, there are a multitude of things we can fear. The world is a dangerous place to be in. It doesn't take many years in this world to figure out that there are a lot of things that can put us out. And yet, Jesus isn't speaking about that type of fear. He's talking about the first stage of wisdom fear, which is the fear of the Lord. And that's a fear that is based in love, that emanates from love. One has a regard for the relationship with one in whom they are in love with to such an extent that we don't want to do anything that can jeopardize that relationship, the trust, the covenant of exchanging person for person. We hear in the first reading the prophet Jeremiah, probably of all of the prophets, one of the most prolific in terms of being charged by God in having to deal with circumstances and community dynamics that are less than desirable. Remember Jeremiah, when the call came to him, he said, "Lord, I'm too young. I cannot speak. Do not say I'm too young, or that you cannot speak." And so he was commissioned and he was empowered. But before all of this too, after receiving the commission, God explicitly tells Jeremiah, you are going to go to a stiff-necked people. They are not going to receive you well. There is all kind of wickedness going on. They're not only are they not going to receive you well, they're not going to listen to what you're going to tell them. Well, it didn't take Jeremiah long to find out that just what God was saying was true. So Jeremiah resigned himself to, I'm not going to speak anymore. I will not. But he said, as he tried to do that, the word of God that was within him was like in his bones, like fire. He couldn't contain himself. He had to speak. And eventually, Jeremiah would lose his life because of the witness he gave to God above and beyond whether or not he was received well by the human race. And in fact, he says it this way. Perhaps, this is his own dialogue, perhaps as he's telling the Lord, I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Perhaps he will be trapped. Then we can prevail and take our vengeance on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. When we hear the word champion, what do we think of? Well, I'm thinking about the possibility of the LSU Tigers becoming the world champions of the NCAA tournament that begins against Florida this evening. And I know many of us are anticipating that. Don't worry, I'll be right with you. But we think about champion, when we hear champion in that context, we think about somebody who's the best at whatever they do. But there's another meaning associated with the term champion. And that meaning is one who supports another or certain type of movement, what have you. You know, so-and-so champions the cause of the poor. So-and-so champions the movement of the vulnerability of the unborn child in the womb. They champion their well-being, maintaining them, asserting their dignity. That type of champion. And so this is the way Jeremiah has steeled himself in the face of opposition that God said would come his way. He would receive it. And it's no different in today's gospel to the disciples then, and especially to us now. Jesus is reminding us that if we find that the world hates us, resists us, puts up all types of problems for us, know that it did it to him first. It's because we don't belong to the world. If we belong to the world would love us, but we don't belong to the world. And that happened when you were baptized. You were claimed by Christ. That's when the sealing of the cross on your forehead, something so seemingly insignificant in the sacrament of baptism, is the foundation upon which everything else follows. God has claimed you and I, individually and collectively, as his children. And we are to take what has been given to us without cost and proclaim it to the world. If you hear it whispered, shout it out. If it's done behind the closed doors, bring it out to the rooftop. This is a public presentation. This is a witness that calls us to realize that in as much that we are going to meet with this resistance, that in itself is going to confirm in a paradoxical way, the favor of God upon us. In fact, I believe it's St. Paul in one of his letters, I believe it's in his letter to the Corinthians, he says that when you find yourself up against it, when you find yourself being chastised for the gospel, he explains that now, he qualifies it, for the gospel, and you're finding yourself catching hell this way and that way, know then, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Spirit of the living God is upon you. We are being reminded today that the one that we ought to truly have fear for, because if we remain faithful to the gospel call and mandate, that we have been claimed by when we were baptized and nurtured in to this very day, if we're being faithful to this, then what's the worst that can happen to us? Jesus is telling us, oh, yes, you might be ostracized. You may be gossiped about. You may be slandered, all types of things. And in the worst case scenario, they'll kill you. But this is why the resurrection, the Feast of Easter, is so important. He has dealt with that. That's the worst they can do to us. And in killing us, if we're witnessing to the gospel, they're actually graduating us to the reward that he has prepared for us since the foundation of this world. So how do we get in touch with cultivating in our hearts a proper disposition of fear of the Lord, this reverential regard, this awe for God, as opposed to this being afraid of our shadows? How do we do it? First of all, we ask ourselves two questions, fundamental. What do you and I desire most? What do we desire the most for happiness? That's the first thing. Second, what is it that you and I fear the most? In the depths of our hearts, if we answer that question honestly with the Holy Spirit's guidance, that will open up for us a very powerful experience of grace that will enable us to know the depths of who we are as God knows us in our souls. And it will afford God the privilege of fortifying us, of reminding us that he champions you and me, just as he does all of his children. We're being invited to embrace a love that has died for us in order that we might rise with the one sent by the Father. And that's the genius of the command of Jesus in all of the gospel, particularly when he reminds us of what we might ultimately suffer as a result of being found guilty of being one of his followers in season and out of season. And what is it? What is the great genius of God? God and God alone has mastered the art of bringing the dead back to life. Not a temporal existence as we find ourselves in right now, but a life that has no end. Hence the significance of the words at the end. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father. And how does he premise this mandate? Have you ever counted how many hairs on your head? I have no idea how many hairs on my head, but I can tell you they're falling out more rapidly as I grow older. I can see that. But I can't imagine somebody who actually knows how many hairs are on their head. God knows. He knows every single hair on your head that's there now, or that was there years ago, and it's no longer there today. He keeps up with some of the smallest creatures, the sparrows. He knows when each one of them breathes their last breath. We are much more than sparrows, the Lord is confirming today. We are children of God, sons and daughters, who have the same grace bestowed upon us as Jesus came when he brought forth this message that has gone forth to the ends of the world. God love you.